April 14th. And this is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council meeting. Keelan, can you please call the roll?
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Wheeler.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, Megan, I meant to say. Please note, City Hall is closed to the public due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video and channel 30. The public testimony about this proposal can be found by visiting the MAP app and clicking on the link that says read public testimony. The written record is located at the eZone project website. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote social distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, flexibility, and understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the city's business. The written and oral record will be closed at the conclusion of today's hearing. And now, a word about today's proceeding from our city attorney.
Good afternoon. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions, reports, or first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at www.portland.gov/council-agenda contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you're a lobbyist. If you're representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected for the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Colleagues, today we are holding a hearing on potential amendments to the Environmental Overlay Zone Map Correction Project. It is known as the eZone Project for short. This is a continuation of the hearing held on February 16th. I'm now going to turn it over to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff, Daniel Sobing, to describe how we'll spend today's meeting. So Daniel, take it away.
Madam President, may I please read the agenda item?
I'm so sorry. Yes, of course.
Thank you. Item 284, adopt the Environmental Overlay Zone Map Correction Project, amend Title 33, Zoning Maps, Natural Resource Inventory, and supersede and replace noted watershed, conservation, and protection plans.
Thank you very much. So now I will turn it over to Daniel.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Rubio. All right, and I'm going to start sharing my screen. Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Sobing, and I'm with the Portland Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I'm here to talk to you today about the eZone project. Today's hearing is a continuation of the first City Council hearing on the eZone project, which took place on February 16th. I'm going to start with a brief refresher on what eZones are and what the eZone project is all about. This will be a short recap of the material that I presented to you 2 months ago. And then I'll move on to discuss the proposed amendments. Environmental overlays are part of Portland's zoning code. They protect important natural resources. The conservation zone is typically applied to forest vegetation, and it allows some new private development that's sensitive to the natural resources. The protection zone is typically applied to streams and wetlands, and it prohibits most new private development. E-zones were originally created through the adoption of several different area-specific natural resource protection plans in the early 90s and in the 90s and early 2000s. Both State Land Use Planning Goal 5 and Metro Title 13 require Portland and other Oregon jurisdictions to inventory and protect natural resources. And the E-zones are one of Portland's primary tools for complying with these requirements. The comp plan has directives to that direct us to update the E-zones as well. In 2012, Portland adopted the Natural Resource Inventory, and the NRI employed new technology to map streams, forests, and wetlands. What we found when we compared the NRI to the existing E-zones is that a lot of the resources that were supposed to be protected were missed when the E-zones were originally applied. This is an example of a stream system in Southwest Portland that is only partially protected. The intention was to apply protection zone to the streams and conservation zone to the forest around the streams, but the protection zone was only applied to the central stream channel because the tributaries weren't mapped well, and the overlays totally missed one of the tributaries, which has no E-zones at all. If the E-zone project is adopted, the protection zone will be applied to all of the mapped stream channels. The scope of the project is pretty narrow. The primary output of the project are amendments to the official zoning maps. There are also some code clarifications and minor zoning code amendments, but this is not intended to be a policy project. E-zone project staff have conducted extensive outreach through mailings and public meetings over more than 3.5 years. At least 3 separate mailers have been sent to the owners of every single property that has existing or proposed E-zones, and those mailers were sent between 2018 and 2020. A significant part of the public engagement that we've conducted so far have been site visits, and staff have conducted more than 600 site visits so far. So before moving on to discuss the amendments, I'd like to remind you that the proposed amendments to the recommended draft of the E-Zone project were posted on the E-Zone project website on April 7th. An addendum to those amendments was posted on April 13th. The written record is located at the project website, which is portland.gov/bps/ezones. And written testimony on the E-Zone project can be accessed through the E-Zone map app. This is a list of the 5 potential amendments that will be under consideration today. I will go through and describe each amendment one by one. After describing each amendment, I will ask if there is a motion to adopt the amendment and if there is a second. Public testimony will be taken on the amendments that are moved and seconded. If any amendment is not moved and seconded, that item will not be included as part of today's discussion. At the close of public testimony, Commissioner Rubio, who is the presiding officer, will close the written and oral record. And finally, after the conclusion of public testimony, City Council will discuss and vote on each of the amendments, time permitting. Amendment 1 was introduced by Commissioner Ryan's office. This amendment would amend the draft septic standard to allow it to apply to both new and replacement septic systems. Also part of this amendment are technical changes to the zoning code to assign an environmental review process and environmental review criteria for septic systems that don't meet standards. Is there a motion for this amendment?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. The motion has been moved and seconded. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next. Amendment 2 was introduced by Commissioner Rubio's office. This is a technical amendment to the Natural Resource Inventory Special Habitat Area criteria. It would add a list of grassland-associated species to the Special Habitat Area criteria, and it would fix a mislabeled table header. Is there a motion for this amendment?
So moved.
Sorry.
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. Amendment 3 was introduced by Commissioner Rubio's office, and it consists of minor and technical amendments to the zoning code. This amendment would update the index of symbols and descriptions of E-zones to align with the new official zoning maps, and it would update a map of the Pleasant Valley Natural Resource Protection Plan area. Is there a motion for this amendment?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you very much. Amendment 4 was introduced by Commissioner Rubio's office. Amendment 4 consists of minor and technical amendments to the comprehensive plan and supporting documents. It would add the E-Zone project to a list of adopted natural resource protection plans, and it would update supporting maps with new data that has been generated by the E-Zone project. Is there a motion for this amendment?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. And finally, we have Amendment 5. Amendment 5 was introduced by Commissioner Rubio's office. It consists of edits to natural resource data and manual conversions from P-zone to C-zone on specific sites. The amendment package that the E-Zone project staff filed last week included proposed edits to natural resource mapping and draft E-Zones on 52 sites. These edits were made as the result of site visits the project staff have conducted in recent months. Since the February 16th City Council hearing on the E-Zone project, project staff have conducted 22 site visits, and our colleagues at the Bureau of Environmental Services have completed 5 wetland field verifications. Before any commissioners make a motion on this amendment, I would like you to consider an addendum. After project staff filed the amendment package, we were contacted by staff from the Water Bureau who asked us to review the draft E-zones on 15 sites where water distribution infrastructure is located. We went through and we reviewed those 15 sites and we found 9 on which it would be appropriate to make edits to the natural resource mapping. These proposed edits were included in a memo that we filed with you yesterday. The edits consist of deletions of portions of vegetation patches in locations where it can be clearly ascertained from aerial imagery or other remote sensing data that the vegetation is not covering a structure or that there is a clear gap in the mapped vegetation patch. The proposed edits that we made on these sites are entirely consistent with the types of edits that we have made regularly as a result of site visits throughout the project area. We were not giving special treatment to the Water Bureau. These are just consistent with the types of natural resource vegetation edits that we make throughout the project. And so I am requesting that this addendum be included as part of Amendment 5.
So moved.
Second.
All right, thank you very much. All right, so this is the summary of the 5 amendments. Each has received a motion to adopt in a second. And I'd like to thank you and let you know that I and Erica Armstrong will be available to answer any questions after the conclusion of public testimony or right now if you have any questions about these on project the amendments. I'm gonna turn it back to Commissioner Rubio.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm sorry, was there something?
Oh, just really quick, just for the record and for Megan, I just wanna make sure it's clear that Amendment 5 was moved and seconded with the addendum, that was the motion.
Yes. Thank you for that clarification. And thank you, Daniel, for the presentation and to my colleagues for moving these amendments. Before we go into public testimony, Daniel, I just wanna be clear, since our first hearing of this item, how many additional individuals have you done site visits for?
Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. We've done 22 site visits and our colleagues at the Bureau of Environmental Services have done 5 field verifications. We said at the last hearing that anybody that requested a site visit in the week after that last hearing, project staff would ensure that we'd get a chance to go out and visit their sites. And so everyone that has requested a site visit since that last hearing at City Council has been visited by us.
Great. And just for the record too, were there any site visits you offered that were refused?
Yes, there's at least one site where we've offered site visits. We've had conversations with the property owners and they have not requested us to go on their site. I can specify the site is 10701 Southwest 25th Avenue. This is a site that we are proposing vegetation edits on after consulting with the property owners. We discussed the vegetation mapping on there. We found some areas that we thought some edits could be made. These are similar to the types of edits that we did for the Water Bureau on their sites. And those edits are included in the amendment package that we provided the City Council.
Great. Thank you, Daniel. Colleagues, do you have any other questions for Daniel before and his team before we take public testimony? No? Okay. We will now begin public testimony. Each individual has 3 minutes to testify. Megan, will you kick us off?
Yes, thank you. We have 7 individuals on the call as of now. We'll start with James Harries, Gary Schoenberg, and Charles Gunn. James, are you unable to mute yourself?
I'm here if you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. I submitted testimony to the effect that I think Daniel and his company are doing a good job. However, their criteria needs to be adjusted for farming activities. I can explain how my property was developed. About 1911, it was clear cut. And sometime after that, it was developed as agriculture. And then now they come along with a conservation zone that will prohibit my agriculture activities. What I have left after they build on the property is about 15 fruit trees and probably twice that many holly trees. Somebody thought he was going to get rich with fruit and holly. Anyway, I attempt to maintain all those, but after reading the standards, I'm going to be a criminal because if I cut a fruit tree that's over 6 inches in diameter, I'm in violation of the ordinance. And I think, this doesn't make sense. The fruit trees and the holly trees are nice scenic trees, and they do provide, cover for birds, whatever. But there really isn't any justification for keeping them in a conservation zone. So I would like the council to consider ordering agriculture to be exempted from conservation zones. And basically, that's my testimony.
Next, we have Gary Schoenberg.
Hello. Is there any way that I can add a video see myself? No?
Gary, you should now have an option to start your video at the bottom of your screen.
At the bottom of my screen. What do I press on?
There should be a start video with a red X in it. If you click on that, it will enable your video.
Maybe up here.
Maybe bottom left, there you go.
It was upper right. Hi, I'm Gary Schoenberg. And as you know by now, I'm a rabbi. tomorrow night is Passover. And with Passover, there's a lot of cleaning and preparation and the reenactment of that journey from slavery to freedom. That is a drama that we live every year. And it's in that context that I like to talk about the last few years of our journey vis-a-vis the city of Portland. I'd like to clear the air. There have been times when I felt not being treated fairly. But in the end, I know I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a citizen of the city of Portland. I'm blessed by a home that I truly love, that we truly love, and will continue to celebrate as a resource to the community. It wasn't what we had planned for. And certainly there were times when I gave pretty heated arguments to the contrary. It's in that context that I'd like to ask your forgiveness and understanding. It felt like the city was knocking at our door and taking away a substantial part of our property's value. But sincerely, I love being a part of the citizens of Portland. I love living in Portland. So it's kind of like, let's make a deal. Door number three is to stay in our home. If that's the outcome, there's a sign on that door that says, we are blessed and we will live well. I also forgive each of you for the actions that you're about to take. Thank you.
Next, we have Charles Gunn.
You're still muted.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm here to make a to recommend the amendment that would change the status of new sewage development, because I think I have the same feeling that the previous witness or testimony giver had, that it's been a difficult period for me to see the land that I've owned for 25 years without developing it change so dramatically its status to be completely covered by special zoning, that the development is going to have a very different feel to it when it happens. And I'm willing to take the hit, because I appreciate the need to have this something for the common good. There has to be some sacrifice on the part of the individual. But I think that anything that can be done to sort of share that load, and to this amendment that would allow the special treatment of the sewage, because there's no sewage up where my property is, and it would have to be specially allowed. That would be a way of sharing or blunting some of the effect of this zoning change, that I can understand the motivation for it, but I have so many trees on that property that I've been preserving for the common good, to have the rest of them somehow not taken away exactly, but I think maybe in the future we'll look back and see this focus on preserving trees at all costs as a bit of a red herring. But that's not what I wanted to say. I mean, that's not my testimony. I'm not an expert, and I'm not judging it. I'm trying to come to terms with this change in the status of my property, and I hope that you will consider this amendment. So thank you for listening.
Next three individuals we have are Lynn Chow, Joseph Angel, and John Gibbon. Thirty-two of us have submitted testimony. Protect the headwaters, start of the entire water system. Once you damage the source, your entire system is weakened. Staffers have changed policy and stated in a PSC session June 22, they have manually altered zoning to reduce protection P zones in areas with 60 to 70% P zones and in riparian areas. This is a reduction of up to 87%. If you approve this project, you are in effect changing policy. You are approving using outdated LIDAR mapping, 8 to 18 years old, with natural resource data missing from 2005 to 22. You are approving to apply a manual conversion to change policy and reduce P zones from up to 200 feet currently protected, reducing to 25 to 50 feet. You are approving to not adopt the existing adopted plan Metro Title III, which protects streams three-dimensionally, accounting for slope allocation, and you are replacing it with the incomplete, outdated mapping data that does not have slope allocation and 3D capabilities to map land that is obviously 3D. E-zones will only give a standard 25 to 50 feet buffer to streams. It can be 25 feet on flat land or 25 feet straight up, which means it can be protecting streams only 1 foot away horizontally in length. This is not rezoning vulnerable population areas. By approving this policy and replacing P zones in the headwaters by up to 87%, you actually create a greater economic divide to neighborhoods downstreams, since streams flow to neighborhoods below.
The effects are greater to neighborhoods downstream, not to neighborhoods in the hills. Thank you.
Next, we have Joseph Angel.
Thank you. I'm here to testify about the proposal. And I want to thank Daniel for, I am one of the sites that he tromped around in the rain. So I appreciate his efforts to do that. The mapping was adjusted to the reality that the LIDAR didn't show. And the issue about septic systems has been discussed with staff at length and with the commissioner's offices to try to come to a conclusion that was both protective of the environment and protective of the people who live along Skyline. So I'm here to support the amendments and to support the staff work and to ask for approval. Thank you for your time and effort. I appreciate what you've done.
Next up is John Gibbon.
Still muted, John. You're on mute. John, you're still on mute, and now we can't see you either.
Okay, now, am I unmuted? Thank you.
Yes, you are.
Apologize for that, and thank you for your help. My only concern today is just, I'm glad to see Portland Water Bureau got in and finally got some of their impacts on their properties dealt with. And I think that you should give those approval, those addendums approval. My biggest issue at this point, Daniel's answered a lot of my questions about our side channels. I'm not really satisfied with them, but I do believe that he's given me enough information to see that we can do the important work of protecting some of our homeowners here in Quail Park inside the parameters of the new ordinance. So I'm not completely concerned about side channels. I think there's going to be some unhappy neighbors in Quail Park who have used side channels or close to side channels as their backyards in the future, but that's our problem. The one issue that I am concerned about, and I hope there's some way to deal with it, is Commissioner Hardesty and Commissioner Ryan were on the board when in fall of 2020, we put together an LID for our water system here in Quail Park, and we've done a lot of it. We've connected directly on one end of the park into the city of Portland water system. But one of the essential ingredients of that LID was the fact that we could use area in what was then just a C zone to access the water line on Lancaster Avenue. And that is going to be new development, and it's going to have to go through the heart of the E zone because our lower access road runs right through it. And I'm concerned that that part of the project will be put in jeopardy by the standard that talks about it's the only reasonable place for the development to occur. And in that particular case, there's an alternative right-of-way that could be used, but was considered in the LID process and rejected. And I'm hoping that somehow our location of the water line in Quail Post Road that goes directly through the E zone can be considered vested because of the fact that we're that far into the LID project, and the project is well underway with a lot of satisfaction. I'd hate to see something stop it. Thank you.
The next three testifiers are Christopher Peskin, Karen Raffnell, and Bob Salinger.
Hi, can you hear me? All right, I'm representing the Forest Park neighborhood FireWise community. More fair and consistent application of process and policies is needed to allow homeowners the latitude necessary to manage defensible space within wildfire hazard zones that are also in E zones as a tool for protecting life and property from wildfire. So the Title 33 Map Correction Project proposed amendments allow for pruning coniferous trees within 30 feet of structures if within a wildfire hazard zone. So that's part of this project we're talking about today. But also there's a Title 11 amendment project underway that's proposed amendments February 14th, draft page 40, relaxes pruning allowances in wildfire hazard zones from 30 feet to 100 feet from structures. That's great, but it doesn't talk about E-zones or connect back to this E-zone code. And then also Portland Parks and Rec has been granted a city nature programmatic permit to allow for pruning within 200 feet of structures for the purpose of breaking the continuity of ladder fuels. So we've got 30 feet, 100 feet, 200 feet, while the inconsistencies, what's the science behind the choices there? And why does Portland Parks and Rec get a special treatment to manage Forest Park, but private property owners adjacent to Forest Park are held to much more strict standards? We should reconcile Title 11, 33, and the city's own self-regulation with respect to managing defensible space in a wildfire hazard zone and in conjunction with the E-zones. Homeowners within wildfire hazard zones should be afforded the same allowance that Portland Parks and Rec has obtained for forest managing Forest Park, 200 feet and 15 feet high pruning of trees, regardless of whether there's an E-zone overlay or not, and regardless of the tree species. And there shouldn't be permits required for this. It needs to be easy for homeowners to manage this stuff. Look at all the trees down on Skyline and Northwest Hills now. This is not being managed, and you're making it more difficult to do so. Thank you.
Next, Karen Raffnell.
Okay. Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. I have no video. I'm Karen Raffnell, and I'm representing our family at 1250 Englewood Drive in unincorporated Multnomah County. Ours is a unique neighborhood comprising 40 small agriculture properties. We use private septic systems, maintain our street privately, and provide our own stormwater management. Because of these characteristics, we are zoned residential farm and have a very restrictive 2-acre minimum per home site. Our property today has zero environmental overlays. However, an immense P-zone wetland overlay has recently been proposed over the active heart of our property. The P-zone would comprise 200 feet on the frontage of our southern unbuilt tax lot. It would overlay a section of our lot's flag road, the entirety of our fire truck turnaround easement, and our entire recorded drainage easement. So two key points here. The first point, the area that BPS identified as a wetland is not a wetland at all. Rather, it is a private drainage easement which carries paved street stormwater, roof, walkway, and gutter runoff for multiple properties as it was designed to do. It also carries pond overflow through a buried pipe that sits within the drainage easement. Now, this goes back to the point just made about the uniqueness of our neighborhood. Our properties are different from those most of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability looks at today. it is a big mistake to measure this neighborhood using the same yardstick as is used for neighborhoods with public sewage and public stormwater management. While a USGS map and measurement of hydritic soil provides a point of departure for identifying natural resources such as wetlands, there are many more facts on the ground to be considered on this particular property to get to the truth of the matter. Many of these facts have been discussed in prior written testimonies, but were not responded to directly. Second point, we thank Daniel Sobing and his staff for the proposal to amend part of the proposed P-zone, changing the P-zone over our flag road and fire truck turnaround easement to a C-zone is certainly a step in the right direction. However, this effort should at a minimum be taken a step further so that our flag road and fire truck turnaround easement, which Daniel Sobing states are not wetlands, are fully removed from any environmental overlay. Our flag lot is not developed. Any type of environmental overlay on the flag road and fire truck easement means that any kind of single family home developed anywhere on the lot will be stymied by an unknown amount of environmental review cost and delay just to get things like up to code electricity onto the lot.
Ma'am, you're over time. We need to stop. Thank you.
Okay.
Our final testifier is Bob Salinger.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of the Portland City Council. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. We are not here today to either oppose or support the proposed amendments. We do have concerns that there are this kind of amendment, this number of amendments coming in this late in the game. And also with such a short kind of turnaround time, they really were only published last week. So it's been short, and our concern really is that from our perspective, this work should have been done much earlier in the process. It was at the Planning Commission for almost a year. There were ample opportunities, repeated opportunities for people to bring in changes or have site visits. The number of site visits been done for this process is absolutely unprecedented. But it's impossible to really from a on a paper level or on a computer to really assess the validity of those changes that are being made now. We do have confidence in staff. And so I'm here today really to urge you to move forward, to close out this process, to enact the new code and bring it up or enact the map corrections, update these maps. That's what this is all about from the get-go, is just to make sure our maps are as accurate as possible. Again, we spent really an extraordinary amount of time going through the adoption process for this unprecedented number of site visits. And from our perspective, it really is time to move forward and close this process out. People really have had, again, unprecedented opportunity to come in, challenge it. And at this point, again, we're not supporting or opposing, but we do urge you to close out the process and move forward. There's a lot of other environmental issues in this city that do need attention, that are urgent, and it's time to move on to some of those at this point. So thank you very much. And I just want to express my appreciation to staff as well. We don't always agree on everything, but you have pretty outstanding staff at the City of Portland in terms of natural resources, really conscientious staff, and again, from our perspective, they have absolutely gone above and beyond. So my appreciation and hats off to staff. Thank you very much.
And that concludes testimony.
Thank you, Megan. So we've heard from everyone who has signed up to testify. So the oral testimony is now closed and the written testimony is also closed too. And thank you everyone who testified. So at this time, we will begin to vote on the amendments in order. So amendment number one, Megan, do I read these or do you?
Lauren, is that Lauren? Something you would like to do?
So the amendments were already posted. They were moved in second. I think that what happens next is a roll call vote. And Megan, you would just... Yeah, I mean, you would call the roll. So the commissioner can say we're going to vote on amendment one. It's already been moved and seconded, and then and Megan can call the roll.
Okay, great. So amendment number one is amendment to the septic standards and technical amendment to environmental review code. So Megan, can you call the roll, please?
Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Council President Rubio and commissioners for your time on this, this particular amendment. I want to also thank the BPS staff for working with my office to bring forward what we think is a very pragmatic amendment to this code project that will protect our natural resources and serve our Portland residents as well. This amendment is proposing that septic standard would be allowable to use with new septic systems, not just for the replacement of an existing system. This amendment is proposed in response to testimony that was raised verbally and in writing at the first City Council hearing on the E-Zone project. I want to thank community members who highlighted this needed change to the code. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye. All right, so it passes. Let's move on to amendment number two. Technical amendments to the natural resource inventory. Is there any discussion? Okay, Megan, would you please call the vote?
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye. So the amendment passes. Let's move on to number three, technical amendments to the zoning code. Any discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll, Megan.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye. So amendment three passes. Let's move on to amendment four, technical amendments to the comprehensive plan and supporting documents. Any further discussion? Seeing none, would you please call the roll, Megan?
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye. So number four passes. So we'll move on to amendment number five, edits to natural resource data and draft e-zones on specific sites. Is there any discussion on this amendment? I'll just add that the proposed amendments will help make the NRI and draft e-zones more accurate. And the addendum is consistent with other edits that staff have made throughout the e-zone project. So Megan, would you please call the roll?
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye. So amendment number five passes. So we voted on all the amendments. The next step is for staff to return to council for us to vote on the amended findings, ordinance, and the amended recommended draft documents. The written record is posted on the E-Zone Project website and public testimony on the E-Zone Project can be reviewed on the MAP app. The written and oral record is now closed. So this item is continued to May 18th, 2022 at 2 p.m. So I just want to say thank you to my colleagues, and this concludes today's hearing and we are adjourned. And thank you so much, Daniel, for your great work.
Thank you for your great work, Council President Rubio.
Thank you.